Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is November 1st, 2024. This podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them to learn more, ffbt.com, and stop by your local branch. I'm Andy Eubank. Coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news, including the final harvest weather forecast as harvest itself hits its final days this year. And Dr. Brett Marsh heads to Purdue. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says precipitation-free today and tomorrow, but then more rain is possible starting Sunday. And yesterday, beans worked higher. Corn was steady. We have market analysis with Mike Silver coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com. Or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Rain to start next week and Indiana's state veterinarian taking on a new role. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. After a rainy Halloween, Friday and Saturday are dry, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast.
Temperatures cooler, especially a lot cooler than what we saw earlier this week when we were in the 80s statewide. But I want to point out that we are not cold by any stretch of the imagination. Early November temperatures are a lot cooler than this normally here in Indiana.
Martin is calling for moisture to return late this weekend and to continue through early next week.
Sunday morning to midday, showers start in western Indiana, spreading across the rest of the state, and we have on-again, off-again moisture through Monday and through Tuesday. Combined 3-day rain totals, I'm going to put them right now, half to 2 inches, with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. I will stress, though, that the only way we get into that 1 to 2 inch part of the range is with thunderstorms. I think there will be some thunderstorm activity, but not widespread, so we'll just have to see how everything works out, but moisture is coming.
We do dry down again for the second part of next week.
Wednesday through Sunday, we see high pressure nosing in out of the north, taking control. So since it's Canadian high pressure, it's going to be cooler initially, particularly for that Thursday-Friday time frame, but not cold, not compared to normal for early November. And so I'm looking for us to see some good drying. I do think we get another round of moisture probably somewhere in that week of the 11th. A system is developing out in the western part of the plains, but it's going to have this high pressure dome move out of the way first before it can head our way.
You can find Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast details from Ryan Martin later today at HoosierAgToday.com or in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. After 30 years on the job as Indiana State Veterinarian, Dr. Brett Marsh is leaving the role and taking up a new leadership position, this time at Purdue. CJ Miller has the story.
I'm excited about the opportunities and ready to get started.
And that's Dr. Marsh, who becomes the new dean and CEO of Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine and Veterinary Hospital on Monday.
Well, certainly it's my alma mater. It's my home. I was a first generation college student to go to Purdue. I entered the College of Agriculture as an animal sciences student and then later matriculated into the College of Veterinary Medicine. So yes, it's been a part of me all along, and I'm really excited and encouraged to be engaged in this new role. To transition from my role as state veterinarian, I'm hopeful I can bring some of those skills and talent into the role as dean.
Dr. Marsh is also one of the country's leading researchers on foreign animal diseases, namely those impacting the livestock and poultry industries. He says he plans to continue to build on the state's preparedness plan in case a disease, such as African swine fever, is ever found among Indiana swine.
The college will be an important continuing contributor in that preparedness planning, whether it's the students, the faculty, and certainly our animal disease diagnostic laboratory is absolutely critical for our state. That laboratory is a member of the National Animal Health Laboratory Network, and so it is a laboratory that's recognized by the USDA to do initial testing of suspect samples coming from animals that may have a foreign animal disease here in Indiana. bringing these parties even closer together, I think, is going to be essential for us to be successful in the long term.
You can hear my full conversation with Dr. Brett Marsh about his new role as Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine Dean. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Good things come to those who wait. But what if you don't want to wait? What if you want to pay for next year's seed order now? Well, you're in luck, because if you pay for your order from Seed Genetics Direct before November 10th, they'll take 11% off. And you can pay your way with cash, check, or credit card. Just make that payment by November 10th and they'll take 11% off. So much for waiting around for good to happen. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com. Value, knowledge, performance. It's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We do have some dry days ahead of us here. Today and tomorrow should be precipitation-free. Sunshine coming back after the moisture that moved through the Hoosier State yesterday. Everybody, I think, thankful for a little bit of moisture. Some of you disappointed that you didn't get more. If you're in that camp, hold on. We've got more moisture coming. Today and tomorrow, high pressure is close by, and so that allows us to see good sunshine and, honestly, some pretty decent evaporation. We are cooler today, but tomorrow we warm up a little bit, but I want to draw your attention to the fact that it is now November, so even though it's cooler, we are still well above where we should be this time of year. So get used to that, because that's going to be the case all the way through next week. As we move into the Sunday time frame, our next round of moisture shows up. Precipitation coming up out of the central and southern plains. Once it starts a Sunday late morning to midday, it continues through Monday and Tuesday off and on, penciling anywhere from a half to 2 inches of rain potential across 100% of the Hoosier State. Now, to be clear, to get into that 1 to 2 inch part of the rain, it is going to take heavier thunderstorm activity, and I'm just not sure how widespread the thunderstorms can be in that 3-day stretch. Most of this is what I'm going to be calling kind of limited or gentle rainfall as it comes through, not pounding exceptionally hard. So we'll kind of watch that. By any means, we're looking at moisture pretty much out of here by Wednesday morning, and we should be partly to mostly sunny and dry by Wednesday afternoon. That pattern continues through the rest of the week. We are dry through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. High pressure setting up on top of us for Sunday midday, and we're going to be seeing that probably hold off precipitation that's trying to form out in the western United States. So I think a nice 5-day dry stretch, which means we allow that moisture to go down through the soil profile relatively easily, and it gets to where it can be used. So yeah, we actually have some moisture headed our way for the first time in a while. The system yesterday was a little priming of the pump, I think. That's the way the forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day and a good weekend. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Quiet and mixed markets as we usher out October. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements coming up. We'll begin the report with market analysis. And for that, I turned at the end of trade to Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Position squaring is what it appeared to be throughout the Thursday trading session, with beans a little higher, wheat a little lower, and right in the middle is the corn market. But we are at the end of the month. Is that largely what you saw?
Yes, sir. That is exactly what I think is going on today. Position squaring on the last trading day of the month of October 2024. And it also happens to be Halloween, and we're getting some rain today that people are much appreciating to add some moisture back into the soil so they can do a little bit more fall tillage work. We started out this morning with our weekly export sales report, and I'll go through those numbers really quickly here. The corn exports were robust at 2.341 million metric tons. That is down from last week's 3.6 million tons, but that's still is a number that was well within the range of the expectations of market participants this morning. The soybean export sales came in at 2.273 million metric tons. That was up from last week's 2.151 million metric tons. And again, that number was mid-range of the expectations. The wheat number came in mid-range at 411,000 metric tons, and that was down from last week's 532,000 tons. Now, if we look at the progress that we're making in our export sales pace needed to meet the USDA export targets, we are actually 7% ahead of the pace needed to meet the corn number, but we still lag 3 percentage points in the sales pace to meet the export sales projection in the soybean complex. So we really need to kick these export sales into high gear, and that would be much appreciated and would be very helpful for further upward movement in price action. Now let's talk for just a second here about crop harvest progress. I could make the statement for all practical purposes, corn and soybean harvest are pretty much wrapped up here in Indiana. But in doing so, I would be remiss because there are some areas in the state of Indiana on some of the later planted acreage and some of the areas that harvest progress is not as far along. But we are fast approaching the 24 completion line. Monday, USDA came out with national soybean harvest 89% complete, and that's 11 percentage points ahead of the five-year pace in soybean harvest. The corn harvest USDA had it 81% complete, and that's 17% ahead of the five-year average. Here in Indiana, USDA had our bean harvest pegged at 87% complete, and that's 12% ahead of the five-year average. And Indiana corn harvest at 77% complete, and that's 19% ahead of the five-year pace. So suffice it to say that harvest this year has been very fast. The pace has been the fastest pace that we've seen in a long time, and those percentages ahead of the five-year average would demonstrate that. Now, today is first notice day for December futures. We mentioned that already. So the majority of cash soybean bids are now against January futures. So basis levels for soybeans, as we have neared the finish line in the harvest, have improved and likely will continue to improve in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Corn is still against December futures, and with us nearing the complete finish line here in Indiana, the corn basis levels have also started to improve. Now, there are areas where elevators are having to limit hours and the basis levels are not narrowing up simply because either they have space they need, they have space unavailable for folks to get in and into a commercial facility. So until we get completely done with harvest, it's going to be kind of difficult to figure out exactly where we might be headed with some of these basis levels. But typically, I mean, right now it appears that basis levels are narrowing up as we've rolled the soybeans from the November price reference to the January price reference, and as we're nearing harvest completion in corn here in Indiana. So we have completed, as of the market close today, and we'll know shortly, what our fall harvest prices are for crop insurance. The October average of November futures will determine the fall harvest price for soybeans, and the October average of December corn futures will determine the fall harvest price for December corn futures for corn. So I would encourage folks, as they have completed harvest, to make sure they get their production reports in to their crop insurance company and determine if there will be a revenue claim perhaps this year, even with good yields, because of the price decline from our spring prices. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about yields, Andy. This has been, some folks, yields have been all over the place this fall, especially in corn. In some of the later planted corn, and where the efficacy of perhaps even multiple fungicide applications was somewhat lacking, or folks chose not to apply fungicides, tar spot certainly caused some yield reduction. So folks are kind of scratching their heads, wondering in some respects why we did not get the bumper crop that we thought we were going to get at the beginning of the summer. And largely that's due to some disease pressures, perhaps some planting date issues, perhaps lack of rainfall in certain areas. So I just want to encourage folks to make sure that you dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Make sure that you get your production reports in for your crop insurance, just in case you might have a revenue claim this fall. I don't think there will be substantial claims, but obviously folks with high coverage levels, higher insurance guarantees, perhaps there will be. So don't miss out on that. And the last thing I want to say is that as we look at the December corn chart, the 20-day moving average at 414 appears to be upside resistance, and the recent low of 398 appears to be our major support. On the soybeans, on the January chart, the trade has support at the 977 recent low, with the 20-day moving average at 1008, the next upside objective. So there, we need to keep an eye on the futures market so we can get some pricing of the crop that we've just complete, and obviously need to look out to the 25 crop, December 25 corn futures and November 25 soybean futures, and look for opportunities to start getting some sales on the books for harvest 2025.
Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain. The number there, 800-666-0613. More numbers now. Settlements from Thursday trade. December corn down 3/4, 410 and 3/4, trading both sides of unchanged throughout the session. Up a half cent on the close for March, 426. January beans, 994 and a half, a gain of 3 1/4. March up 4 cents, 1009 and a half. And December wheat, 570 and a half, losing 2 3/4. Meats quiet most of the session, down mostly. December live cattle, 12 cents lower, 186.30. December lean hogs, 83.80, down 57. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.